Studio 360.
The actor Frank Langella has had a career playing complex men with very dark sides.
I am the last of my kind, descended from a conquering race. But I must warn you to take good care. If at any time my company does not please you, you will have only yourself to blame.
In the 1970s, Langella played a seductive Dracula in a production that went from Broadway to the movies. 3 decades later, he went from stage to screen again. He originated the role of Richard Nixon in the play Frost Nixon, won a Tony Award for that, and then got an Oscar nomination for the movie version.
You know, it's a funny thing that I've never been challenged to a duel before. I guess that's what this is.
He's continued playing characters grappling with morality and mortality, from an old jewel thief in the movie Robot and Frank to a KGB spy on television in The Americans. Last year, Frank Langella starred in a Broadway play called The Father by Florian Zeller. He played a man being undone by the onset of dementia. And the play itself was written and designed so that we, the audience, shared his befuddlement. Timeline switch, parts of the set appear and disappear. The same characters are suddenly played by other actors. I spoke with Langella during the run of that play. Frank Langella, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
The playwright takes these sort of old Pirandello, Ionesco, theater of the absurd devices and makes them literal and neurological. And it's sort of amazing that that hasn't been done.
No, it hasn't. Florian's approach to this subject is completely original and unique. And there's a lot of Alzheimer's, dementia, senility-type plays and
books.
It's a subject everybody is very much interested in these days.
But once one sees it, you go, duh, why hasn't this been done before?
Why hasn't anybody ever put the audience in the same position the patient is?
Yeah, it's painfully real. And also, because it's real and we, the audience, are seeing it as you see it, it all seems perfectly normal.
Yeah.
I want to play a clip from the show where your character Andre is talking with his daughter about one of the home care aides his family has hired to live with them.
I can manage very well on my own.
She wasn't easy to find, you know. It's not that easy. I thought she was really good. Lots of good qualities. And now she doesn't want to work here anymore.
You are not listening to what I am telling you. That girl stole my watch. My watch, Anne. I've had that watch for years. I've had it forever. It's of sentimental value. I am not going to live with a thief.
That is you in The Father with Catherine Irby playing your daughter. As the play goes on, the audience realizes that Andre's watch has not been stolen. He just keeps forgetting where he's put it. You've said you've never been so frightened of playing a part as this one, and that King Lear, by comparison, was a walk in the park. Why was this so frightening?
Well, on many levels, but certainly when you do King Lear, you know, you've got a crown on your head and you've got long costumes and robes and you're in another era and another time. So whatever the character is going through, you can sort of be somewhat, if not removed, you certainly can look upon it as a great old classic. When you play a man who is, in fact, your own age and is in normal everyday clothes and is approaching slightly less than a year of compos mentis-ness, if that's a word, if you're a thinking person, and I am, you must imagine yourself in that position. And I started to think about my own mortality and how I've always felt totally strong, totally on top of things, totally sure. So I had to face my own feelings of what it's going to be like when I can't come up here and sit and talk to you. When my daughter comes to see me, well, I know it's her. I purposely made myself think about those things. And of course, I fell to the floor and just, why put myself through this? But there wasn't any other way to face it, really.
And as we all get old, we all think about that. But this brought it to a new, directly in your face level?
Yes, and also I haven't played a great many characters who are as vulnerable as this man is. I've played a great many men who are distanced, superior, slightly above the human race, like Dracula and Sherlock Holmes.
Nixon.
So to play a regular fella who is, my brother has this disease, and when I go to visit him, I talk about all the men I see walking up and down the halls of the hospital in diapers. And I see one of them suddenly burst out in rage at a nurse and throw something. I see someone else sitting in a corner crying, looking out a window. And my doctor said, men have a much, much harder time because we are all kings of our own castles. And suddenly you take a man who's been king of his castle for 70 years of his life and put him in a diaper and sit him in a room and tell him he can't go anywhere and lock him in and give him a couple of pills to, quote-unquote, calm him down. Would you like that?
No.
No.
And of course, it is the great fear of getting older, of going out in exactly this fashion and seeing the play. As beautiful and as sometimes funny and all that as it is, it just reminded me, like, no, that's not what one wants. Has it affected your relationship with your brother?
Oh, yes, very much. He's my older brother. I'm his baby brother. He's 2 years older than me. And he's still got a great sense of humor, and he still is very clear sometimes. But you know you're watching a mind disappear. You know, it's very funny. I just thought of this. If you have a loved one who's dying of something, there are chances along the way for rapprochement. In this disease, that's even taken away from you.
Exactly.
You don't get that bedside moment where dad looks you in the eye and says, I know I treated you kind of bad, but I love you. Doesn't happen.
It seems like just technically, this performance must require great range in addition to the emotional drainage.
Yes. I had a great deal of difficulty learning this part, and I said to the stage manager once, I'm really worried about this. He said, what are you worried about? Let the other actors worry. Go up on the line, say anything you want.
Oh, because it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
That's
They'll
funny.
Think it's talent.
That's funny. Being on Broadway is a bit of a homecoming for you. You were a successful stage actor before you ever had a movie career. You won a Tony in your 30s for your role in Edward Albee's Seascape. But I don't know anybody with a big career with as many ups and downs as you've had over the years.
Yeah, which is a combination of, is exigency the right word? I'm not sure. The variables of my profession.
I would take exigency.
And also my own nature, which I think probably at times found the winds too heavy and decided to go from them.
Really?
I'm a very fortunate man, is that I'm basically a theater actor. So
yeah.
I've always been able to return to the stage.
And you don't age, one doesn't age out of that.
No. You can do it as long as you have breath. One good example of that was in 2006, I was offered a little play to do in England for 8 weeks. And I was offered a major television series on CBS and another one on ABC. And I read this little play and I thought, I don't think I can play this part. I'm not sure I'm good for it, but I can't resist the challenge of it. So I'm going to turn down the two TV series. And the two TV series crashed and burned, but the little play I did in England was called Frost Nixon.
There you go.
Which led me to one of the greatest successes of my life.
Absolutely.
Which leads me to tell you that when I was 24, a director said to me, try to, in your career as an American actor, associate your name with the word quality, and you will survive. So if I can pat myself a little on the back, I took that advice. I try to do the things that both frighten me and force me to do things I'm not sure I can handle. I'm not an actor who takes a job because it's close to a golf course.
Right. You know? Yes, or you can phone it in and get paid a lot.
Yeah, I can't do it. I just can't.
Both in your stage career and in movies, you have played all these morally problematic creatures, Dracula, Richard Nixon, Skeletor. You're very good at playing iconic villains.
I'm drawn to them.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to men with epic problems, and I have been since I was a young actor. I always wanted to play men who had epic challenges in front of them. It thrilled and excited me to do it, and it still does, as is the case with Andre.
Yeah. One of your characters who defines epic problems is Nixon. You played him both on stage and screen. Here's a short clip from the movie. You, as Nixon, are talking to the journalist David Frost, played by Michael Sheen.
Are you really saying that in certain situations, the president can decide whether it's in the best interests of the nation and then do something illegal?
I'm saying that when the president does it, that means it's not illegal.
What are the challenges of playing a real person like Nixon as opposed to a fictional figure like Andre? Is Nixon harder?
Yes, and as I said, I took this little play as opposed to the series, and then I discovered, I thought, oh God, I've really put my foot in it now. I'm never going to find this man. And I had a lucky accident, which I count on in all my work, something I didn't expect. I was watching all the tapes of Nixon before I left for London. I went to the Museum of Television and Radio, and the woman gave me thousands of hours.
Mistakes, yes. But an illegal act with an immoral, illegal motive, no.
And I was sitting there watching, thinking, oh, I can't do this. What, I'm an idiot. I should have taken that series. And I went to the bathroom. And when I came back, it was a still of him held on screen. And I picked up the remote and hit the button. But I hit the slow-mo button instead. And I stopped and suddenly saw Nixon moving in slow motion.
I said, but Henry, I can't fire men simply on the basis of charges.
And then I looked at his eyes that I hadn't seen in the regular. I saw the eyes shift a bit and I saw the mouth go. And I began to see underneath the persona, the inner man. So then I went back and played all of it in slow motion. Huh. And that's when I began to find him.
You played King Lear, as we said, a few years ago on stage in New York. Another doomed leader. Another guy like your role in The Father with some daughter issues and some cognitive issues, I guess. Why is Lear this ultimate actor's role that everyone wants?
Well, Lear is the great mountain to climb until you've climbed it, and then you sit down with every other actor who's ever played it, and you go, what the was I thinking? Because it's the most illogical play in the world, and the only way I could find finally to conquer him, if I did it all, was to play it as 12 separate one-act plays.
How interesting.
When I exited in one scene, I couldn't psychologically bring on in the next scene because a storm takes place in the middle. It's as if Shakespeare sat down one afternoon, opened the windows, and 20 of the pages flew out into the sea, and he thought, oh, the hell with it, I'm not going to go get them. Every actor who's played Lear
That's
will tell you
yeah.
It is a monster, an absolute monster.
But did you feel like, okay, I've done that thing I was supposed to do?
Yes, and I'm very glad I did.
In addition to this very good play that you are doing very wonderfully now, you are a major character in one of my favorite television shows, The Americans. You play this KGB spy master who is the handler of the two main characters, Soviet spies, 1980s Washington. This is a clip of your character, Gabriel, talking to the spy, Elizabeth, played by Kerry Russell.
Elizabeth, your mother died. We had someone with her. She wasn't alone. She spoke of you and Paige. Wanted to send a message that she loved you.
Did she?
What do you mean?
Did she really say that?
Of course she did. Elizabeth, when you do what we do, it's very easy to lose your bearings. I don't want that to happen to you.
That is Frank Langella and Kerry Russell in The Americans. So this guy is not only not apparently so far a sociopath or a monster or a crank or demented. He's one of the nicest guys you've ever played, it seems, unless we're very much surprised in a future episode.
Well, you will be surprised, but indeed he is. When I sat down with the boys who wrote it, I said, I'd like to find a way not to be a cliche, mysterious, dark spy, and for him to have a humanity about him. And in fact, he loves these two people and is trying to save their lives every episode. Yes. He's trying to keep them from self-destructing.
So this last decade, from Frost Nixon to King Lear to TV star to magnificent performance in The Father on Broadway, does this feel like, okay, this is maybe the best one of the six so far I've had in the business?
In a word, yes. But it isn't the best because of the work. It's because I think I came to a rather profound realization within myself. My relationships now with my fellow workers, my own personal loved one and my family is so much better. And I keep thinking, yeah, everybody's getting nicer. But the fact is, I'm nicer. There was a wonderful article in the New York Times a number of years ago written by what I thought was a very elderly man, he's like 74. And what he said was, when you get to these years, if you don't discover how important kindness is, you're going to have a miserable death. And I took that to heart.
Huh. And really, that was just at 65 or 68, you just decided, I need to be kinder?
No, no. It actually, to be brutally honest with you, it comes from having so many doors shut in your face. And you can do one of two things. You can go into your defenses, or you can stop dead in your tracks and say, I'm doing something wrong.
Obi-Wan, the Force is strong in you.
Cut all this. It's too Pollyanna.
Frank Langella, this has been a complete pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. A pleasure, too.
I'm happy to report that Frank Langella went on to win both a Tony and a Drama Desk Award for that performance in The Father.